Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast. To my right, David, Pastor David Lean. Hello. To my left, Pastor Bob.
Howdy, y'all.
Extraordinaire, amazing. Yes. I am your host, JT, or AKA Jeremiah. Or I said that backwards. It's Jeremiah, AKA JT. Whatever.
Interchangeable.
They're totally interchangeable.
It's a palindrome. But not really.
Is it?
No.
Define palindrome. Let's not. Hey, so today's really cool. So we've been asking all of our students.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of school right now, which is going amazing. And we've been asking our students for questions that we could attempt to answer on the podcast.
Yeah.
And so I've got a question. I'm going to pose it to Pastor David and Pastor Bob. And so student asks, in Philippians 3:10, talks about the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. So her first question is, at what age or moment do you believe that Jesus knew he was sent to earth to ultimately suffer? Pastor David, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, so as his pre-incarnate nature of God the Son, he knew before he came into the world because it was prophesied that he would receive a body and he would do all the will of God. I believe you find that in Hebrews 10, where God knew he was going to incarnate and he was going to do that for the purpose of atoning for sin. So in that sense, he always knew that. It was always part of his, you could say, eternal contingency plan that he has for the universe. In case we mess things up too bad, he was always ready to come and get us. But also, I also know at the latest he knew before his ministry began on earth, because he constantly taught his disciples that he was going to suffer at the hands of the elders and chief priests and Pharisees and on the third day be raised. Right. So, you could theorize that he found that out one day at the workbench. The Father shared that with him while he was learning carpentry. Or you could theorize it was in the wilderness after his baptism that maybe the Lord revealed his true purpose. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it ever specifically says when Jesus in his human nature realized that he was to suffer. But that's my closest attempt at answering that.
Okay. What do you think, Dan?
April 3rd.
April 3rd.
The year 1.
AD.
One, yes.
-30.
We have to have a little laughing in here.
I love it.
Dealing with suffering.
Oh, it's the best way for sufferings to go down, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, also he's learning obedience by, and the things he suffered. Right. So apparently there was maybe a learning curve, but also he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. So I don't know if there was suffering involved in that. Probably so. I don't know what that looked like even. I don't know what all that can mean.
Right.
Actually, we'll find out someday fully, I suppose. Mm. David has ideas.
He was slain from the foundations of the earth, which is referred to as the covenant of redemption, where the Father and the Son agreed together before creation, you would say, to have him be the Redeemer.
Right.
It doesn't mean he was actually killed in God's time before the creation, but it means his death was resolved.
Resolved and planned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So David, could we definitively say, or more definitively say, that Christ likely knew between ages 30, 33, somewhere in there, when he began to reveal himself as who he was to his disciples and then tell them of why he was there?
Yeah, and John the Baptist knew as well. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth, the Passover Lamb that was killed to take away sin. So I think it's likely that that he knew. Even Mary received a prophecy. Remember that a sword would pass through her heart. Mm. There would be some sort of suffering involved with her son that was born. So it's very likely. And Jesus would have been able to receive insight from the Old Testament. He was later able to interpret the whole Old Testament, referring to his death and resurrection and sufferings on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24. There are many indicators that he knew, but at the latest he would have known at the beginning of his ministry when John the Baptist said, there's the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the earth. That's probably the latest you would say that he would have definitively known that.
Okay. So Dad, next question. Along these same lines of Christ's sufferings, what are the sufferings of Christ?
That's a good one. These are tough.
It's not an easy one.
Are you asking what are the sufferings of Christ that we must pass through?
So let's start with him and then us.
This is why I agree with David that by the time he entered into his ministry, he probably got an idea of what was going on. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering along the way, mm-hmm. as he became more and more aware as a human,
right.
you know, I mean, he probably, you know, even at says, you know, he's probably 12 years old having to deal with a bunch of people.
It must be about my father's business.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, getting yelled at by his parents. And right. there's probably a little suffering there, probably, you know, a different kind. But
Stand that chair again.
But, you know, the sufferings that, if you're talking about the sufferings of Christ specifically, and you're talking about him going through the pain and torture of his execution, mm-hmm. I guess that's the end of his suffering, but I'm gonna suppose that we see components of his suffering in his ministry all the time. Mm. In his, because I believe the sufferings that he suffered physically mm-hmm. probably pale in comparison to the sufferings he suffered in his soul.
Mm.
And because I believe that. Well, I always equate it to, you know, we talk about. When we fast, mm-hmm. that it's the affliction of the soul,
right.
It's the suffering of the soul, if you will. It's, you know, it's bringing it under some, you know, something, and it's connected to the physical, but it's soulish at the same time. So I'm just gonna say, from what I read in the Bible, that he suffered just seeing people state weeping over Jerusalem, seeing that his own close, you know, pals sometimes didn't understand him, didn't recognize what he was really saying. And then, you know, but I think also, let's not forget that with suffering also there was a joy.
Sure.
And so associated too. So I think that he saw glimpses, and that, you know, helped him as a man mm-hmm. with the suffering component of this. So I think that along the way, I would say that he found what suffering was all about. And so as far as Jesus is concerned, I think the culmination of his suffering actually is that physical suffering on the cross. And then another suffering that we can only suppose
right.
happened because of his separation from the Father
mm-hmm.
in when he paid the price and
mm-hmm. right.
went to hell.
Right.
And so what that looked like, the separation component, you know, and I think we sense that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we lose a friend that you've walked with, and it may not be to death, it might be to just they walk away from you.
Sure.
That there's a suffering involved with that in your soul. Jesus, you know, I believe he had to experience that when, you know, John 6, and, you know, hey, he's talking to his disciples, will you leave also? Everybody else left,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
And then the suffering of, you know, knowing that a guy he walked with for 3 years was going to betray him.
Yeah.
So those kind of sufferings, I mean, there's a lot of different kind of sufferings. We can just focus on a physical, you know, in his passion,
mm-hmm.
Which was, you know, God forbid anybody goes through that kind of physical suffering. But I think the soul suffering eclipses some of that.
Yeah.
In so many ways. That's, yeah. I don't know if I answered
your
question
completely
there. Do you want to add anything to that, JT?
No, I was thinking that too, in all three realms, right? Bodily, mm-hmm. he suffered in his soul, his heart, in his emotions, he mm-hmm. suffered, in his spirit, he suffered when he was cut off from the Father. That happened on the cross. And one could only imagine, I mean, we are born dead in trespasses and sin, and we didn't realize we were suffering. so then when we came, you know, we received that new spirit, and we come alive to him, and he begins to commune with us. You know, we start to walk with him. Then we start to, I think we're coming. It's like you're coming out of that place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting, but that's all I was going to add.
And also, you know, to add to some of that is mm-hmm. that you can only imagine what it was like to be, we can't really imagine sure. this, but like here he is sinless and now the sins of the world are being put on him.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of suffering that does to a soul that was perfect.
Right.
Like, it's just hard to imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so like I said, that his body was, you know, beat and, you know, pulverized.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, was horrible and almost inconceivable.
Right.
But his, but then his soul to, and then his spirit, you know, like you said, just getting that, it's so, it's hard to imagine. For me, it's hard to imagine because right. we're coming from a different place.
Right.
You know, we're used to it.
What do you think, David, on the sufferings of Christ?
Yeah. What's coming to my mind is just rejection and shame because he came to his own and his own did not receive him.
Yeah.
Mm. And like you mentioned, the desertion of his followers and the betrayal of his close friend, Judas, you know, the rejection of him as Messiah, the blasphemy that he received. His own family said he was insane. They tried to get him to be quiet.
Right.
Mark chapter 3, you know, come outside. He's out of his mind. Mm. You know, I think, like you said, the shame of being crucified naked and stripped, you know, the one who was glorious and, you know, covered with majesty and
right.
beauty was, you know, he was stripped and he was, you know, you think about the scene in Narnia where the lion's mane is shaved and he's, you know, put to an open shame, which is what we deserved, right? And so he was sharing what the suffering that mankind deserved and entering into that. Mm. So there was a, like you said, in the soul of him as a human and as God, he was pouring out his soul to death, right? He was pouring out his life, pouring out his physicality and his soul and his spirit.
Wow.
He even had to give up his spirit to the Father. Like, he lost everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so he literally just yielded up everything. Mm. There was a sense of probably great rejection there from his people, the Jews. Mm. You know, I don't think it was this thing where he's like, I'm coming to judge those people. I don't even want them to repent. You know, I really think I think it actually hurt him that they rejected him coming on the donkey, right? And initially they said Hosanna, and then they turned on him.
Right.
I don't think it was, you know, unanticipated, but I think it still hurt him a lot. And so, to be God, to be creator, enter into the world and experience the suffering of your sons and daughters and, to be joined to that in a physical sense.
Right.
God took on flesh that he might actually experience that.
Right.
So he wanted to take that on, which is I could keep going on that, but
yeah,
there's many facets to his suffering.
Yeah. I was reminded of Isaiah 53. Let me read a couple of verses. He says, verse 2 says, for he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look on him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And it keeps going. You know, he was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. Wow. They made his grave with the wicked. I mean, it goes on and on. He was suffering and disgraced and despised. And in verse 10, it says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Wow. I mean, 10 is wild. It's like the redemptive story, the resurrection story, all in one verse. Okay.
It's amazing. You know, I just, you know, when you read that, it just speaks to me as so full and total rejection.
Yeah.
Like when you experience, nobody likes to feel or experience rejection, but when you do, it cuts you to the core. Mm. And imagine what those scriptures are explaining in Isaiah and then what it looked like for him here. He came to his own, like you said earlier, and his own received him not.
Right.
And I thought about that, you know, think about it. He's also a Jewish guy, kid, and then young man growing up in a system that was so wrapped up in their religion.
Yeah.
And he was in it. He was part of it, obviously. And so that's where all the acceptance was in that. Because they were essentially slaves. They didn't have anything else. They had their religion hold on to, I guess, their culture, mm-hmm. if you will, their internal culture. And then to be fully rejected by that culture, by that religion, they just, no. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not one of us. You're worthless. Mm. You'll be Elzebub. You're just nothing. Right. And like, that has to be just on a natural level. Mm-hmm. Just so, like, that suffering's of Christ, right?
Yeah.
And I know we'll probably talk about it, but what does it look like in our sufferings and all, you know, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
To that question then, Dad, what are our sufferings? Like, I mean, that's what, you know, Paul is speaking to in Philippians 3:10. He's talking about the fellowship of Christ's sufferings.
Yeah. I actually think a lot of it is really in the heart of that, where, I don't know how, I'm positive I know how you guys are, because you're both very much evangelistic too, much more, I think, than I am. But I know that when you reach out to somebody with the love of God, mm-hmm. and by the way, when you were reading Isaiah 53 there, I was immediately thinking about that in conjunction with 1 Corinthians 13, mm. your love, because he actually is, there's love personified in the New Testament sense from this prophecy of who he was. And so, but I just think when we reach out to somebody to give them the love of God, Jesus, and they're like, nah, you sense that rejection. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird feeling. Sure. It's like you sense, like, wow, I, not just personally as a man, mm-hmm. you sense this spiritual rejection of everything that you are in Christ. Mm. And it breaks your heart, sure. by the way. And I could imagine I think we suffer that if we're, you know, promoting God in our lives, or if we're just walking with God and people are like, I don't like that, you know, or are you judging me? You know, are you, you know, are you this? And you're like, no, I'm actually just walking. I'm, you know, you have your life and I'm just giving you what I know, who I know. And then it's rejected. To me, that really, those kind of rejections are the tough ones. Yeah. And also, like I said earlier, personal rejections. When you've walked with somebody a long time and poured out, weeped with them, laughed with them, just done life with them, and then they, like, sayonara.
Yeah.
You know, that's a, you know, I think we sense that. That I, you know, in the world, I think before you are born of God, you'd be like, nah. You know, forget about it. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, yeah, go ahead. You know, and you're dead to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, that's really the way the world deals with that. Mm. But us, you know, as born again children of God, we hurt with our Father when he's rejected. I mean, I don't even know how else to say it.
That's a really good way to say it. Just,
yeah, anyway.
That's a good way to say it. What do you think, David? What are what are the things that we suffer? And I'll add to that, do we have to suffer?
Yeah, it's by many tribulations that you will enter the kingdom of God. And so that looks different for everybody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that suffering's intrinsically good. It means, like, it has a functional good. It achieves something. Right. It's not like God is just like, oh, good, suffering, that's good for you. Give him more suffering. It's just, he's not, if that was the case, he wouldn't have started with the Garden of Eden where there was no suffering whatsoever.
Sure.
But in a world where we are representing the rejected king, mm-hmm. we need to stay loyal and stay with him. And he says, you know, to his disciples, you are the ones that stayed with me in my trials. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really live up to that.
Right.
But they did eventually.
Yeah.
And so he was speaking prophetically. Sure. Right? That was on the night before he was betrayed. He says, you're the ones that have been with me in my trials.
Right.
They had been with him for 3 years, but and they abandoned him when he was betrayed. But then later on, they would all give their lives, with the exception of John, in order to bear witness to him as king. And so if we really are sharing the life of the rejected king, you are sharing the life of the rejected king.
Right.
And if you're like, no, I always get all men speak well of me. And he's like, well, woe to you, because that's how they talked about the false prophets.
Right.
You're probably
right.
Telling them what they want to hear. That's in line with their worldview. You're not clashing in any way. You're not telling hard truths. You're not confronting sin. You're not standing up to broken systems. You're not fighting for justice. You're just sort of blending in. And that's not the life that we're called to live. We're called to do what he did. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he did that I thought of while Pastor Bob was talking was just, you know, he stuck with people that he should have walked away from. So, you know, like, and that's really God's whole suffering. Like, the whole suffering of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament is he stuck with people that he really should have just walked away from. He should have been like, okay, that's how you respond. That's enough. You know, see you later. Mm-hmm. But he just kept with them. He just would forgive and renew and restore and go back and make reconciliation. And he would continually do this.
Right.
And there's a lot of suffering to that. I don't know if anyone has ever, listening, if you've ever had to reconcile over and over and over again with someone, it's just, it could wear on you.
Right.
You know, there could be somebody at your job or someone at home or in your family. And you just go, I really, you know, I should walk away. This person's toxic. Mm-hmm. This person's dead to me, like Pastor Bob said.
Right.
But no, you're not going to do that because you're called to show the faithfulness and the love of Jesus. Even if you might not get anything back right away.
Right.
You might win that person to Christ, or you might, you know, like Pastor Bob was saying, there's a greater objective than escaping suffering.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, if we want to be nerds, that's the difference between Christianity and Buddhism, where Buddhism is just about escaping suffering. Right. The great enemy is suffering. Just, you know, realize that it's all an illusion and you won't suffer anymore.
Right.
Where Christianity is like, no, embrace the fact that this is reality, suffer it and redeem it. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's a much more, I feel, realistic approach.
Yeah.
But it's not fun.
Alone. Well, I don't think, I don't feel like we are encouraged to go find suffering.
That's what I mean. It's not inherently good. It's
not, we're not mining it.
You know, like, no. I want to go get suffered someplace. Right. You know, right. But I believe that suffering will find you.
Sure.
And you need, you know, then you need to be able to deal with that.
Right.
I liked what you said, Pastor David, about that. It's just a you can't spend all your time trying to avoid it. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a whole nother thing, because you'll waste all your time that way.
Right.
There
is no avoiding. I'm reminding of like John 16. He says, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yep.
So there you go. I mean, Jesus literally said it. And he's like, by the way, I'm going to go. but I'm going to leave you with this final thought. But, you know, and he did encourage them. He said, take courage, because I have overcome the world, right? You'll have suffering here, but I have overcome. So in like manner, suffer, but overcome.
Yeah.
You know, I know it sounds so simple, but yet. Except for when you're actually suffering, right? And it's like, why? So another why question, this came from our student. Why is it that when we suffer, we feel him and we're closer to him?
I would say I began to answer some of that question inadvertently when I mentioned about the affliction of the soul, especially during when you're fasting. Mm-hmm. Because what it's doing is it's forcing you, through your body, it's forcing you to concentrate. Focus, if you will,
right,
in one direction. Hopefully, him. Mm-hmm. I believe that physical affliction, it could be even physical infirmity,
right,
is like a pointer. It pulls you in a direction. You can focus only on that if you wanted to, but if you if God's using that to actually get you to focus on him, it's a very good lens for that. It will narrow it, all the distractions go away.
Right.
All of a sudden there's this thing, you know, maybe it's something you're hurting.
Sure.
Right. And you're very there, but then you realize, oh, so you could either feel all alone in that or all alone with him in that. You get that very clear option.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting thing. And all of us have gone through sicknesses and sufferings of some type like that. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm open to you. I'm hearing you. I'm here with you.
Right.
I'm not, distracted by everything else around me. And right. It's like he just used it as a magnifying glass to just like focus in that, you know, the light from like when you start a little fire with the magnifying glass, it just focuses it down to a point. I think he uses suffering that way. Mm-hmm. He actually, you know, in our souls, you know, and you're alone with him.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird thing.
I just went back to something you quoted earlier, you know, that he learned, speaking on Jesus, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how the suffering can draw you to a place of obedience.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it opens up this relationship. And I obviously we have the choice there. We can lean in or we can lean out, right? We can lean all the way in and go, okay. And I think sometimes too, like you were talking about fasting. Fasting is the intentional abstaining from food. And so your body starts to suffer and your soul can then therefore start to suffer. But the point of doing that is to pray and, you know, be more dedicated to the Lord. And because he said you should, and you know, that may be a fast he's calling you to. And as you do that, you're intentionally putting yourself in this state of suffering. But then there is a closeness that comes through that because you're humbling yourself, right? We don't like to use that word a whole lot, humbling ourselves. Where he clearly tells us to humble ourselves. Like we have to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes he helps us like, hey, you're in this moment of trial and temptation and it would go better for you if you humbled yourself and just, you know, suffered the situation. So that was interesting. That came to mind. David, I wanted to ask you in like manner. So how can we as believers endure suffering?
Well, before I get into that, I just wanted to say a quick thing. Like, I just thought it was beautiful that the student said that they are drawing closer to God in the suffering.
Yeah.
And that hasn't always been the case when I've suffered. Mm. I've bailed out or I've just been like, I want to escape this or I'm just going to do this myself or, you know, and you focus on the pain and it's totally all consuming. Mm. You're just like, woe is me, you know, right. We're really like you guys are saying, you're supposed to realize only God can go there with you. Mm. He's the only one that can really be there with you in a deep place of pain. Mm-hmm. And he is there, even if it's not like a good feeling you're experiencing, his spiritual presence is absolutely there. And you're sharing the fellowship of his suffering and it's designed, like you guys are saying, when you suffer, whether it's self-imposed through fasting or whether it's externally imposed by your life, it's supposed to focus my desire for relief.
Right.
I have a desire for relief. I have a desire for company. And it's supposed to focus that on God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can clearly receive from God. The problem is sometimes my desire for relief gets focused to Netflix or audiobook or food or something, you know, and then
different
I'm not,
God. That's all.
Package of chocolate. I don't know, whatever you have, you know, and then you are not actually then
going to
fellowship
in
God's suffering. Even if you're like, oh, really? I'm suffering for God. Like, you know, count it all joy when you face sufferings, you know, but like, you're not actually directing your desire for relief towards God.
Sure.
Right.
And so that's what makes the difference in my view between like a type of suffering that has value for your character and for your relationship with God and really a pointless suffering where the enemy is just hammering you.
Sure.
He's wearing you down to nothing. And obviously God's still going to get you out of that. He's going to do it by his grace, but you're not going to get as much benefit if you don't. And it's hard to do. You're not like actually just like, Lord, be with me. Sometimes like I remember last time I was just puking. I was just right over the
Please.
Toilet. I was just puking my guts out, like really, and like your whole world narrows down into a point and you're like, oh, this is so bad. And I was just like, the one thing I made myself say, I was just like, Lord, be with me, be with me, be with me, be with me. Uh-huh. And that was all I could say. And it helped me, you know, I'm not going to say it made it feel better. But I was like, okay, like, this is, you know, I don't have to do it myself.
It definitely has a focusing effect.
I'm just, maybe a lame example, but maybe we can all relate to that.
No, everybody can relate to that. But you know, it's very focusing because everything else becomes minimal in that moment.
Right.
And then, you know, it clears the deck of a lot of distractions, except for maybe the thing you're suffering and him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, you know, when you're talking about that, I started thinking about like the Lord, you know, he suffered, you know, just being around people that didn't believe and having to argue with Pharisees and all that. And then he would retreat, mm-hmm. right, to, you know, the Mount Olive yeah. and just be with his father. You know, it's yeah. like that suffering, I think, also
right.
drove him, mm-hmm. you know, because yeah. as a man, to be with his father. And, right. and you know, we may not see it exactly that way, but mm-hmm. I think it's that. Right. Actually that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Good. Go back to your other question.
No, no, you're good. I'll pivot. I want to pivot to something else. We'll come back to that one. So in Philippians 3 again, verse 10 and then 11. So 11 that follows, 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Hmm. Talk to me about that, Pastor David. Because it's not this scripture, you know, we started at the top with the student's question referencing Philippians 3:10, but he's not just talking about sufferings. He's also talking about the power of his resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to the, you know, the context there is that he used to work so hard for God.
Paul.
Yeah. Paul, he used to work just so hard for God and he suffered a lot and he beat his body and he kept the Torah. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews and he goes, you know, I don't count that as gain at all. I would lose all that if I could just have Christ, if I could just mm-hmm. know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings mm-hmm. and be conformed to his death, mm-hmm. that by any means I would attain the resurrection of the
right.
dead.
Right.
So he has his eye not on like getting through this life, but he has his eyes on Christ.
That's good.
And he said in chapter one of that book, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Right.
And he, we're speaking about focusing down, right? He's in jail. He's chained to a Roman probably. He's like, I just need Christ. Like his focus is completely on mm-hmm. Father, make me like Christ. That's why I'm alive. I want to be like Christ. And I even think, you know, maybe he mentioned resurrection first there because without the power of his resurrection, it's very hard to endure the fellowship of his sufferings mm. and be conformed unto his mm. death.
Right.
And he reverses the order, right? Jesus went in the order of like, I'm going to die and be buried and rise. For us as Christians, I mean, we die in the waters of baptism and all that, but really we receive his life and then mm-hmm. we walk into his fellowship right. of suffering. And then we get conformed progressively to death to self and, right. and just living completely in love to God and others. I know I'm still on that road.
Yeah.
And he reverses the order for us by grace. He's mm. not like, let me see you suffer. Let me see you die. Okay, cool. Now there's resurrection.
Right.
If you notice, he bookends it. There's mm-hmm. an inclusio where he goes, power of resurrection, fellowship of suffering, conform to death, attain resurrection.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's resurrection on each side, yeah. which is pretty cool. There's like a spiritual resurrection culminating in the final resurrection.
Right. Eternal, right.
So maybe that's too theological, but I mean, I think we have to be able to receive what he has done for us mm-hmm. and receive strength from that and be edified in our spirit. And that will allow us to walk into, you know, and choose those ways of suffering that we, you know, most people wouldn't really choose to live like that. You
right.
know?
Well, I think also
it wasn't for Christ.
That either. One word that's the add on to his mm-hmm. sufferings is the fellowship. Mm-hmm. And to me, when I hear fellowship, I hear intimacy,
right.
closeness, drawn in with him.
Right.
And that is that's a different kind of suffering. And that's suffering with him.
Yeah.
Right. That fellowship thing. It's yeah. not just, you know, I'm suffering my own little trial all by myself. We can get start that way. We probably always start
yeah.
that way. But the reality is he's wanting us to enter into the fellowship component
right.
of it too, which that I know lot, we go yeah. past it. I know we're focusing on suffering, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the suffering, but he's like, there's a fellowship that happens here. There's that koinonia. There's that right. love. There's that intimacy
right.
that you and I will have in suffering.
Yeah.
And like, I will be there with you.
Yeah.
And so, and especially, you know, to the student who wrote that and asked that, I mean, mm. if they're going through something, mm-hmm. To know that God is there with them.
That's right.
He's wooing, he's calling them like, and it can be pretty horrible suffering for some people. You
yeah.
understand that,
yeah,
you know, and it's course. Like, so we're not making light of that no. Or just put your heart on God and it's okay. No, but he's like wooing you into that place. Like,
yeah.
I have this place of intimacy with you.
That's good.
I was touched with the feeling of yeah. your infirmity.
Yeah.
I'm being touched.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's an intimacy there. I think that sometimes we miss the close.
It's current, right? I mean, he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Right.
Me, right.
Right.
Why are you throwing me in jail? Why are you beating me?
Right.
Why are you killing me? You know, right. Why are you rejecting me?
It's
why are you shaming me? And he's like, who are you? Right. Yeah, I'm doing that to these ragtag blasphemers over here.
These guys need it.
Yeah, I'm teaching them a lesson right now.
Right.
He's like, everything that they're suffering, I'm suffering.
Right.
And God is connected to our suffering.
Wow.
Well, he could not make intercession for us.
Right.
If he wasn't.
Right.
You know how when you enter into an intercession, you are like right in it. Mm-hmm. If you cannot be separated and apart from when you're in true intercessory prayer.
Yeah.
It's guttural. It's not only physical and soulish spirit. Yeah. I mean, you're in it.
Yeah.
When you're going before God and doing true intercession, mm-hmm. either you're in it all.
Yeah.
Sensing it on every level or you're not.
Right.
And if he's, you know, before the throne making intercession for us.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that it takes it out of the past. Like he did something past and it makes it a present reality that we are in that fellowship with him today.
Right.
In that place. I love what you were saying there, Dad, about, so just to share a little, you guys know a story of our son, Leo, and my wife and I. And so for, you know, the life that he lived for, in the womb. And then of course, 27 hours after birth. And then he went on to be with the Lord. And, there was a lot of moments there where it was like, how do we even do this? How do we even,
right.
you know, process this? How do we walk through this? And there was many times, there was pockets of times where it was like, the Lord is carrying us. He knows what mm-hmm. we're feeling right now. He knows what we are suffering, what we are, mm-hmm. what we are anguishing about, right? Where we feel stuck and can't make a decision, where we feel totally alone, where we feel like we have no recourse, so we've got nothing. Mm-hmm. And yet he knows, and he was with us so closely. And then you said something else, that there is a revelation of Christ in the suffering.
Yes.
That will only be found in those sufferings.
In the intimacy, absolutely.
There is a different, it's a different moment. I know there's intimacy in the joy, and there's intimacy right. in blessing,
all of
and
it,
intimacy, yeah. and but there is something else, mm-hmm. and something quite, I'll say, transformative, or like we were talking about a minute ago, David, the conforming mm-hmm. to his death. Like we really then are touched with his mm-hmm. infirmities, mm-hmm. and not just he with ours.
Yeah,
there's this exchange of like. I'm experiencing a little of what he mm-hmm. what he felt. And then he goes, and I've experienced a little bit. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come
what
on.
What you felt.
Yeah.
And there's this fellowship because
yeah,
he's been in that same place yeah. as we have been. And so I just wanted to say that to somebody today. I wasn't sure how it was going to come back up because we may feel like we're alone, but we're not.
Right.
We may feel like we're going through something that nobody else understands, mm-hmm. but there is one who does because he was touched with those same infirmities. And in like fashion, when you come to understand what he suffered, we're touched by his in the same way.
Yeah.
And so that is such a beautiful, deep communion in the midst of this crazy suffering. I mean, think of when he goes into Gethsemane, right? And he's weeping blood, and he's having a medical condition where blood is coming out of his pores because of the intense suffering and anguish that was already setting on his soul. And he went into an intimate place with the Father. He had to go there, mm-hmm. and he got even closer to his Father. And then he continued on his journey to the cross. That was really interesting what you said there.
That draws you, you're drawn into that place. I think of, you're not really alone.
No.
You start to feel alone in suffering, and then you recognize you're not.
Right.
It clears it clears the deck for who you're with. It's interesting when you were saying that, especially bringing up Leo and childbirth.
Right.
And I think, you know, our church, we many people have practiced and believed in what we call the life method, mm-hmm. Which is actually painless childbirth.
Sure.
And many of our ladies have actually experienced it like completely mm-hmm. at some level, and it's crazy. But there's a that during that time, you actually go into a place with the Lord.
Yeah.
And some of them have actually experienced it even prior to childbirth, going through, morning sicknesses and things like that, where they've, and you're suffering.
Right.
And then all of, like David was suffering morning sickness. Apparently he was saying earlier, but you're suffering. And then all of a sudden in that place, you know, early on, I'm guessing you're focusing on this, you're sick.
Right.
And, it has the potential to bring you into a place to tap into that place of like, I'm with you here.
Yeah.
And then the miracle of things is that because he's, because we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, he takes care of us.
Yeah.
And it sometimes right in the middle of that suffering, we've heard of people's like miracle. God heals them on the spot. God stops the morning sickness. God stops the pain in the middle, which would normally go, that's happening. That should be, doesn't look like it should be not be anything.
Right.
And then, I've experienced it with my wife and just like all of a sudden painless. And you're like, okay, but you feel this like wooing and all of a sudden you're like in that place with him.
Yeah.
Like just, like you were, right?
We absolutely, so our outcome was, different. Obviously our son passed, but I will say, and I said this after I had a realization a couple of weeks after our birth, I was like, oh wait, that was a life method birth.
It was
because we entered into this place with the Lord, and my wife and I, and even the nursing staff and various people came through. What I was thinking of though is that it's the when you're in that place with the Lord and he's walking with you, regardless of the outcome, there's a newfound closeness to the Lord and a newfound trust. Mm-hmm. And I believe that through the Spirit, long suffering can be developed or further developed. But I would say the biggest thing was like the preservation of my soul, my heart, because Lord knows if I didn't have the Lord going through a situation like that with that kind of outcome, I'd be a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little bit of a mess, but I would be far more of a mess, wouldn't know up from down, left from right. It would probably torment me all the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But instead, we walked out of that smiling and, no joke, rejoicing. Mm-hmm. Because obviously we know and trust where Leo is, but also God was with us.
Right.
He was with us right in the middle of it.
Right. Well, I believe that part of the miracle with Leo was actually from day one all the way up to when he was born.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing was, it shouldn't have been. And we saw a miracle unfolding in time. And God knows, someday you'll be able to like sit down with God and he'll say, son, come here.
Yeah.
I got you.
Here's what I was doing in that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I think,
Dave?
It brought me to that scripture that says, as we share abundantly in his suffering, we share in his comfort as well. And so we're not just suffering to suffer. We're like, the Lord is helping us through that.
Yeah.
And in a way, we're also, he's leaning on us a little bit too, I would think, because he suffers more than any of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he actually feels more indignation and rage and hatred towards the devil and sin and death than we ever could, and tragedy. And he has a plan to completely obliterate that and renew all things and resurrect the whole cosmos, right? And so he is not okay with the present state under the curse, but he, like you were saying earlier, sometimes you go through something walking with Jesus, like you get persecuted. Let's say you share the gospel with someone and they just vehemently hate you, and you'll hear Jesus go, yeah, they did that to me too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you go,
that's what that felt
like. And you feel like his pride.
Yeah.
You feel his pride in you that he's like, they're going through that just like I did, and you have such a connection. It's not just like, and it's not just something that's individual between us and God. It's also, between the brothers and sisters. We're supposed to be suffering with one another.
That's right.
When one member suffers, all suffer.
Yeah.
When one is rejoicing, all rejoice. All. And paradoxically that can be happening at the same time. There can be somebody that's going through tragedy and somebody that's having a baby.
That's right.
That's exactly what's happening between us is, I have my son was born and was okay.
Yeah.
And what what's the difference between me and him? Nothing.
Right.
I mean, this is just how it worked out. And yeah. it's just,
and you guys are the best of friends.
Going yeah. And
we are, another, we can we're praying for each other's sons. Yeah. If just for anybody
and we can yeah. rejoice together yeah. and you know, it doesn't, if the roles are reversed, I would hope it would be the same. Yeah. I don't know that I would have the strength that he's had, or the faith, but, I think God is just really trying to draw us into the place of faith. We are not even suffering, and we're going to go mm-hmm. to somebody that's mm-hmm. that's really hurting and yeah. say like, "Hey, I care, and I want to help you,
yeah.
you know, and I want to listen to you." And I think, you know, the whole world tends to just move on. There's a tragedy or there's something that happens,
right.
and you know, let's get on to the next news cycle. Let's just mm-hmm. you know, our salvation is that we're just going to turn the page.
Right. Right.
We're just going to forget that it happened.
That's not-
God doesn't do that. God right. will, if you go and you grieve right now over something that happened 10 years ago, mm-hmm. you go think of someone you lost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You can, the Lord will be right there with
yeah.
you, and he's not going to minimize what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I would hope that the body of Christ also would work that way.
Well, I'm going to say this about, mm-hmm. about that situation is that you, when you go through suffering, I believe that one of the things that you take from with that and mm-hmm. out of that
mm-hmm.
is your level of ability to have compassion and to minister to someone who's going through that.
Yeah.
Maybe not even exactly that suffering, but something similar. You're able to minister at a whole different
oh, yeah.
level. Like, because you are bringing the heart of God, because
right.
God, he met you in the suffering.
That's right.
And yeah. now what are you carrying is his heart for that. And so all of a sudden, you know, when we go through things mm-hmm. that we recognize this even from the word that when yeah. you go through things that it equips you
yeah.
to be able to minister right. in that area. And it doesn't mean you have to go through every single
sure,
thing.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
But suffering tends to, it works in a lot of areas all at once.
Yeah.
It's you know, you may be suffering in one area, but you're getting, you're getting God's heart and his compassion, empathy, his feelings
yeah.
in lots of areas.
Yeah.
You can, all of a sudden you can go, oh, you equate, you're like, oh yeah, that's what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so that heart, that merciful heart of God, the steadfast love yeah. of the Lord
yeah.
can come through you. And
yeah.
that's what you see in that. Like that's what we get when we're, when God is, you know, is working with us
right.
and meeting us in our suffering, we get his steadfast love. We understand, oh, yeah. he was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it right in the moment, you might not really get it.
Right.
when yeah. you come through it, you'll be like, oh yeah, he was there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. yeah. His word says he's yeah. close to them that are broken.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's close with this, gentleman. 1 Peter 4, and David knows right where I'm going, Mr. Bible scholar. Verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Closing thoughts out of 1 Peter 4.
It doesn't end with suffering. Suffering is not the end.
That's good.
It ends,
mm-hmm.
you know, it ends with glory. It ends with a proven faith that you offer before God and said like, hey, I chose you. I didn't bail. It's not a boast thing.
Right.
It's just the Lord helps you because the Lord helps you to actually do that.
Yeah.
And he brings you through it. He says, you know, to Peter, I'm praying for you. And when you return, strengthen your brothers. Mm-hmm. And so, I just think like from Romans 5, it says that suffering produces character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Character right. produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because right. God's love has been poured into our heart
right.
from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so really, his love is always there with us through all the suffering, and his love is bringing us through the suffering into glory. And when you're suffering, really like the thing that can get you through is to know that somebody cares mm-hmm. and to know that somebody loves you.
Yeah.
And just for somebody to go, hey, I know you're suffering, but I love you and we're going to move through this.
Yeah.
That's what gives you hope. That's what produces hope in the suffering. Mm-hmm. It's not just like the more I suffer, the more hope I get.
Right.
It's like, well, no, actually that would like crush your hope, you know?
Right.
So without the love of the Holy Spirit being poured into your heart, you're going to burn that out. You're just going to be like, mm-hmm. I'm done. that's enough. This doesn't work. But if you actually receive God's love, probably through his people,
yeah,
probably not just in the, you know, the prayer closet, but right. if you're receiving his love through people, you'll be able to have the hope where you're going to persevere through the suffering and the suffering is not going to last forever. So I just want everybody to hear that.
Yeah, that's really good. You have any closing thoughts, Dad?
Well, on that scripture, the thing that strikes me is that we share his sufferings.
Right.
We're part with him.
Right.
We're not separated. And there, you know, so I believe when you do that truly, then maybe you get part of the mind of Christ coming out of that.
Yeah.
And you get to bring out of that his wisdom, his understanding, his discernment, his discretion, and his anointing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good.
I would say.
That's good. Well, if we can do this, we're going to close by praying. I'd like to actually pray, if you don't mind. I want to pray kind of according to what David was just saying. But if any of you out there hearing this or watching this podcast, if you find yourself in this place of suffering, first, we want to encourage you that God is with you. As Pastor Bob was saying today, he is with us in those places. There's an intimacy open, and there's the possibility of you entering into that if you will lean into it by faith. And also, like Pastor David was saying, that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So God wants to pour himself into you, his love, his care, because he knows, he's intimately acquainted with what you're going through and what we've gone through. And so, Father, we just thank you today, oh God, that we can call upon you in our time of need. We thank you, Lord, that you are always present. You are an ever-present help in our times of trouble. And that though in this world, we will have tribulation, we will suffer things, we will have trials, Lord, you are still there. And we can know this and trust your word, that you will encourage us, your love will constrain us, that you will empower us by the Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray now that you would impart a courage, impart your love, and impart the Holy Spirit unto those who are in this place of suffering, Lord, that you would cause them, Lord, to lean on you and rely on you like they never have before. That they will just absolutely surrender themselves into your hands, Father God. And I would also say, Lord, that they would take that bold step and surrender their hearts into the very capable hands of the body of Christ so that we might share with them and fellowship to be intimately connected and supporting to what they're going through, oh God. That we wouldn't operate in isolation, oh God. Yeah. But that we would operate in an openness, in a courage, in a camaraderie, oh God, because of the fellowship that we truly walk in together as the children of God. So Lord, we ask that you would move mightily now, that you would even change situations, that you would be the lifter of our heads, that you would begin to lift the heavy burdens and the weights, that you would bring healing, Lord, and pour your oil, oh God, the oil of gladness even into the situations of the mind or the body, oh God, that you would bring healing and restoration, Lord, as only you can. But most importantly, Lord, that you would bring us closer to you, that you would draw nigh unto us as we draw nigh to you, God, that we will come to know you better, that we would come to fellowship with you, Christ, our King. We pray these things in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we thank you today.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, go to spiritschoolofministry.com.